Let's bring in Sam Costantino into the conversation, covering prospects for Sportsnet. Sam, you did fantastic work over the weekend. Always a pleasure listening and watching you talk about these prospects, and obviously in Vancouver. Vasily Podkolzin comes in at number 10, and I know you love the pick.
Yeah, I sure do. I think there's value there. I really do. I mean, it's tough when he's a player that's somewhat of an unknown, but those who attended the World Juniors would have had an opportunity to see him play. And then if you weren't really paying that much attention, you'd probably look back and see just 3 points over the course of that time, and you wouldn't be all that impressed. But, you know, if you take a bit of a deeper dive into it, you realize that he played valuable minutes as an underage for a coach who doesn't really play a lot of underage players in important minutes or crucial minutes. And that's what Podkolzin was able to do. So a bit of a rarity in that regard. And then I look at the World Junior Challenge, the Hlinka Gretzky, where he tied for the tournament lead with 11 points, the hat-trick in the bronze medal game. You know, there's a lot of good things about this player. And I don't want people to get hung up too much on the contract because, quite frankly, he wasn't going to play in the NHL this year anyways. So of that two-year deal, you let him go back, play in Russia for year number one, and then regroup after year two. And if it does take 2 years, you know, I heard Jim Benning say it, he's probably a guy that needs 2 more years of development anyways. And at that point, by year three, he'll be ready to come to the National Hockey League and should be well suited to do so against playing in the competition in a good league in the KHL. So I really do. I really love the pick.
Well, and obviously the criticism for him has been his production maybe isn't as high as it should be considering his overall talent level. But when you factor in that he's still 17, I think he just turned 18 years old today or in a day or so, and when you can factor in that he was playing in high-leverage situations even at the KHL level for a long period of time, can you see him having a big step offensively next season?
Oh, I would think so. I mean, let's look at when he played with his peer group. He was pretty good. I mean, tied for the tournament lead with 11 points. In the World Junior A Challenge, he was over a point per game. That's predominantly 19-year-old or younger competition. And at the World Juniors, where he had just 3 points, and that's not always the greatest measure, he's essentially playing as a double underage player there. So he's playing against much higher competition. He had games in the KHL, the VHL, the MHL this year. And that, while the production wasn't great in those areas, consider a guy who's bounced and probably played for 6 or 7 different teams this year. So I expect the production to go up. I still think he's a guy that needs to continue to work on his skating. But his overall two-way game, to me, the basement for this guy is second line. You know, a second-line player all the way, and I think the ceiling is a first-line winger.
And physically speaking, he's one of the most NHL-ready players from the 2019 draft class, correct?
You know what? He's grown. Even from the time that I saw him at the World Juniors to when I saw him at the Combine, he'd already grown some by then. And getting the chance to meet him and shake his hand, he's got big old hands. That's an indication that there's a lot of growth still to be done there with that player. I like his frame already, but, man, I have to think that he's going to play at 10 or 15 pounds heavier than what he is now. And that's a scary proposition because he already plays with a lot of bite and a lot of grit in his game. And given the additional strength and the additional weight, he's going to be tough to handle once he kind of settles into his man weight.
You said that the Canucks got a steal, 10th overall, with Podkolzin, like we're talking about. What about their pick at 40th overall going to Sweden and selecting Nils Höglander?
Well, he's a guy that I do think that some people are concerned about what production he's going to be able to bring to the table. But overall, you're looking at a guy who's as physically fit as anyone available in the draft. I mean, just get a peek at his workouts. So a lot of people say he's got great hands. I've seen that, but the great hands hasn't always translated into great production. So I do like the pick. There's two others there that, you know, I look at Ethan Kepin, who played in Flint last year, and you know, it's a market that doesn't get a lot of attention, but, you know, I think Kepin was their fourth rounder, if I'm not mistaken, a guy who went from, you know, he tripled his goal production from 10 to 30 and just about tripled his point production to 58 points last year. A big guy who can move well, so I like that pick. And Carson Folk's been through the draft once, a real breakout year for him in Calgary, and I think Vancouver and Jim Benning are expecting that trajectory to continue next year with Carson Folk.
Talking with Sam Constantino from Sportsnet.ca about the 2019 draft class that was. We know that there was a lot of buzz when Steve Yzerman went up there and picked 6th overall for Moritz Seider. Sam, with all that you've known about this pick and this player, what did you think about that move and whether or not it's prudent for you know, the new general manager of that team to sort of swing for the fences here for that one?
Well, he's a guy that I think I had at 15 going to Montreal, so it's not a huge stretch. And I know he probably could have gotten that player a little bit further back. By all accounts, Detroit tried to trade back, you know, to acquire an asset and still feel that they were going to be able to get Sider. No one was biting on that deal. I mean, no one was really biting on any deals on Friday night other than that little tiny deal between Philly and Arizona. So at that point, as a general manager, you're in a new spot, but a comfortable spot. It's a player you'd seen live and with all the scouting that Steve Yzerman had done this year with his in-person viewings. So if you really identify the player as that's the guy you want, jumping up what I would have considered, you know, 8 or 9 spots where there's a lot of people that would have had him in that 10, 11 range anyhow. So while it was a jump, I don't think it was a quantum leap to go get him at 6, but definitely a bit of a surprise.
Well, it also goes to show, like you said, if you want your guy, you take him. And if you're worried about losing him by going down a few spots, it's justifiable to take that player. And the question a lot of people have is, between Moritz Seider and Philip Broberg, which one is more likely to be an effective NHL defenseman?
Well, I mean, they both have good size. They're both really good skaters. I think there's a little bit more of the known when it comes to Broberg. And I think there's a little bit more of the unknown when it comes to Seider. But, you know, Seider does, like Broberg, has played against men. He did so more regularly than what Broberg did this year. Didn't have the kind of, you know, they were similar in terms of point production. In their weight class, when they're playing with guys, you know, in the under 20s and whatnot, still very successful. So, you know, you have to think that they're almost similar players right now. I just think that there's a little bit more of an unknown element when it comes to Seider, and that's probably what helped attract Steve Yzerman to making that pick there.
Well, you know, what's interesting to me is looking at a lot of drafts that were seemingly good for a lot of teams, because I kind of hate talking about losers, because you hear this all the time, right? Like, this team had a really bad draft, and then a year later, they hit on 2 home runs, and next thing you know, it looks like a good draft. But I want to focus on a couple of teams that I like their drafts a lot, and one is the LA Kings. Getting Alex Turcotte at 5, Bjornfoot, and you get Kaliev as well in the second round, and Fajemo as well. They get him later in the draft, too. Like, the Kings, if they hit on these players, how good could this draft be for that organization?
Well, it's interesting how they went. I mean, I think Turcotte was a natural selection with the way things shut down and Kirby Dach going third. So I think that was a pretty natural selection, number 5. I think they went with a pretty safe pick, a guy who's guaranteed to play in Bjornfoot at 22. So he's a guy that tons of people told me interviewed extremely well and looks like he's going to be a future letter wearer in the National Hockey League here down the road. But where his upside lies is somewhat questionable, but I think he slots in as a 4 guy at the very least. So I think that's a pick that everyone really appreciated there, knowing how much of an opportunity he has to play in the NHL. I mean, Kaliev, you know, there's a lot of things that I really like about this player, but there's also a lot in his game that I would question. So it's about Arthur really taking that next step, and Arthur saying to himself, hey, I need to go and work at this thing. Because when you get invited to the combine, you're one of the 110, 105 best players. Yet when you finish near the bottom in just about every category, that's somewhat troublesome for me. And that's what happened with Kaliev. So what it does say on the flip side of that is that there's all kinds of room for potential for this guy to get bigger, to get stronger, and to become a real contributing member. The one thing we know absolutely for sure about his game is that he has the ability to score goals, and that's such a coveted asset in today's game. So I would have to agree with you with LA, especially in those first 3 picks. The way you look at it is you go safe with Bjornfoot, you take a bit of a swing with what you're seeing out of Kaliev early in the second round, and Turcotte is that all-around type of guy who looks like he's going to be able to play here sooner than later.
And which other team's draft do you think really stood out to you?
I looked at Carolina. I like what they did. I mean, Suzuki at 28, I think there's a little bit of value there. I had him in that 20 range. You know, he's got some improvements to make in his game in terms of his strength, but he thinks it extremely well. And one of his coaches this year on one of the teams he played for referred to him as a hockey genius, so I like that about him. I like Pyotr Kochetkov as a really impressive player for me in goal. As long as he can remain healthy, there were some issues about his health, you know, at some point throughout the course of the combine. So if he's a guy who does stay healthy, I really, really like what he's going to be able to bring to the table. So I looked at Carolina, and I thought they did a great job.
A couple more minutes here with Sam Constantino on Sportsnet 650. And Sam, Brett Leeson was a player I was keeping an eye on, obviously slipped out of the first, almost slipped out of the second. But was there a better, more ideal fit than actually Washington and getting him at 56 overall? Because Washington, like Pittsburgh in a way, always looking to stay competitive while guys like Ovechkin, Crosby, and Malkin are still in the game.
Yeah, they didn't have a ton of picks. So I think with where Washington is, it fits him quite well for the simple fact that here's a guy who's an older player. So he can jump in and play in the American Hockey League right away for you. And if he has the type of summer that, he's expected to have, there's an opportunity for him to get into NHL games as early as next year. Now, the question mark surrounding Brett is his ability to consistently work to that end. Mm-hmm. Is he going to be the guy who's going to put on the work boots every day here in the summer, and once he gets into season, that's going to be able to take that next step? Of course, everyone liked what he did last year, myself included. I'm one of his bigger fans for the fact that he's a guy that I saw a lot of, and that's, for me, the big tipping point for me. But Brett now has to go out and do the work, a lot like Arthur Kaliev, and prove to people that everyone was wrong taking those players where they did.
Edmonton Oilers picking 38, Raph Lavoie. This is a guy that I was really intrigued by because he's got the skill but just didn't have the work ethic all the time. What do you think that value is there for Edmonton, taking him in the early second?
Oh, yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that there is there. And he's, again, a player that comes with some warts. So his consistency has been an issue. You know, the one thing I'll say about that player is that he's been over-scouted. I mean, he's a late birthday guy, so the fact that everyone's had an extra year to see him, are thinking back to when he had some warts in his game going back a couple of years ago. But I love what he did in the second half. I love what he did in the playoffs with his 20 goals in 23 games. And his play at the Memorial Cup didn't bother him. He's got some length, so he's got some speed, so he has the ability to play in the power on the penalty kill, rather. And I think that's an important asset in today's game, where you can find a guy that maybe if his fallback ends up being a third line, that he can give you some PK minutes.
Now, Sam, before we let you go, I have one final question, and that kind of comes down to the New York Rangers. They had a lot of draft capital. They traded a first-round pick, got Jacob Trouba back in return. Kako at number two is obvious. Getting Matthew Robertson in the second round and also Carl Henriksen later in the draft, that's pretty good three players to select in a draft, even though you did trade one of your extra picks.
You know, and if you look at what they did before the draft, the acquisition of Trouba as well, I think that's that's very telling that how quickly I think New York's going to be able to speed up the process to become a contender once again. So I would have to agree with you. I mean, Matthew Robertson is a guy that I projected to go into the second round. I just worry about exactly what his identity is. Now, having said that, if he's a guy that you projected in the 4-5 spot, which is where I have him, then picking him in the second round is probably exactly where he should go. And that's where the New York Rangers saw him, and I think that's a reasonable projection. I think also for Matthew, the fact that the pressure taken off him from not being a first-rounder is going to be something that's key for his development.
Yeah, for sure. And both Robertson kids were kind of viewed as going in the first round, and Nick Robertson goes to the Leafs. And considering the Leafs had sacrificed some picks already, getting Nick Robertson where they got him wasn't a bad selection for them as well. But Sam, we can talk draft all day. I know it's a busy time for you. We'll talk to you again and recap some more of the draft stuff and look ahead again. But great work leading up to the draft, and you killed it over the weekend, and we appreciate all the insight you give us here on Sportsnet 650.
Yeah, very kind. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
You got it. That is Sam Constantino. Great insight into the 2019 NHL Draft.
Sportsnet 650.